Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo, Privacy Simplified. The Lawrence Holmes Show is executive produced by Ray Diaz. The King has done a great job since taking over the show. Tomorrow, we will talk with Cody Westerlin, and we will wrap up the bull season with him. Josh Nelson will talk White Sox with us as well. Our weekly hit with the Sox Machine, guys. So that'll be a lot of fun. I expect that I'll react to the draft and get you ready. Maybe the Bears do trade Robert Quinn in a two to get into the first round. I don't know. I doubt it. I think they're going to probably stay where they are and draft as many people as possible. Pick as many lottery tickets as you can. Mark Grody is sitting in for Danny Parkins. Matt Spiegel is sitting in for Matt Spiegel. Hello, boys.
Lawrence, guess what has arrived in the Score Studios in downtown Chicago?
Sandwiches?
Carson's ribs.
And get out of here!
All the sides. I have just laid into the ribs. I have some au gratin potatoes. I've got some cornbread.
There you go.
I've got some fries here. And it's about to go down. And I was telling these guys that you essentially are the reason that this has occurred, because I was...
I thought you were. I was so confused because I thought this was a please Mark Grody situation.
Well, no,
for Mitch Rosen.
It is. And thanks to Mitch Rosen for being proactive and making this happen and over-communicating and keeping the energy high and all the things that Mitch Rosen does.
You know what he's doing?
He's
playing the hits.
He's playing the hits. Mm-hmm. No, I was on Lawrence's show probably a month ago now, and I had a long week. I think maybe it was one of my first overnight weeks or something like that, and I was still doing Bear stuff. And Lawrence asked me a great question. That was, now that it's the end of your week, what are you going to go eat tonight? Because you deserve a good meal. And I said, you know what, Lawrence, I got a taste for ribs, and I have never had Carson's ribs. To which Lawrence gave a glowing review of not only the ribs but all the sides that go with it. So this idea, this concept, this craving was born on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
And not only that, but also the way that they've been able to kind of turn into a delivery place for the pandemic. Like the quality of the food did not suffer with the travel. It's great. Game one of the Bulls-Bucks series. I ordered a pulled pork sandwich from Carson's.
Oh, nice.
And it was delicious. So you are living the high life, sir. This is fantastic.
I am on their website. I'm on their website right now, and Dean Carson has written a little hello there on the website. Third generation Chicagoan, third generation Carson's ribs person. And yeah, there's a big old order curbside up there at the top. So they toggled during the pandemic. Well, I'm enjoying it very much. I've never had it. Somehow I know it's Chicago's staple.
So I'm not the only one.
No, I'm with you, Gross. I had never been.
You got to do it. Like, the ribs obviously are great, but occasionally, like, I during the beginning of the pandemic, like, I might have had a taste for like a steak. And one of the things I loved about Carson's is that they give you a little onion ring on top of your steak. And I had made a mention either on Grubhub or on Uber Eats saying, hey, love the onion ring or something like that. And they put three on top of the steak.
It makes a difference, man. It's like that little cookie on top of, of the shake, right? It's like makes a difference.
It makes a world of difference. And I was just like, look, this is customer service
here.
This is how you treat people when they walk into the dough. And then you got the barbecue sauce and the steak fries. Man, you can't beat it.
Steak fries, so good, man.
You got me thinking about the cookie on top of the shake. You've been to Margie's Candies over there in Bucktown.
They overserve me every time I go.
Oh, the classic ice cream and milkshake place, and they'll give you the little sugar wafer, wafer on there.
It makes the difference, doesn't it?
The Beatles were there. There's a picture there of the very young Beatles in Chicago hanging out at Margie's Candies.
Nice.
Oh, they have shared some of the food on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Oh, that's...
What are they? Are they focusing on Grody's plate or on
my
plate?
They are. They are on Grody's plate.
Right, little ensemble of food here. We're supposed to not eat too much food in the studio,
right,
but we probably will. No, that probably will happen.
Not gonna. You know, I think barbecue sauce smeared all over a few microphones is not really a way that anybody wants to go. So we'll be extremely, extremely careful. Lawrence, it is the day one of the off season. It is a day to be, you know, somewhat happy and talk about some of the successes of the regular season, but also to fully grasp the enormity of the task at hand, because the task is enormous. Going good to great for the Bulls, for an NBA team, God, it's so, so hard. History is littered with really good teams that never got great. So you got to be a little afraid of the daunting task that's here, but they chose it, didn't they? They chose to be right here in the middle in a league full of either tank or contend. They chose to get to the middle. So maybe they have a plan to get over this hump, which has been a conundrum for so many.
Watching last night's game speaks. Man, I'm seeing DeMar get walled off and get triple teamed. I'm seeing them basically run a box in one versus him defensively, and seeing the Bulls just chuck bricks at the rim was extremely disheartening to sit through. Like, yes, DeMar is out here making the right and smart basketball play, and yet he's got no teammates that can make shots.
One of the exact differences between the Bulls and the Bucks, because Giannis Antetokounmpo, obviously it is more difficult to guard him even if you put two or three guys on him, but most of his outlet passes that he has utilized in the series have been made baskets by whomever he has thrown them to. So, yeah, that's a serious problem when you don't have that secondary scorer or the extra guy, and that's what killed. 15 of 52 from three. They took 52 threes last night.
And here's the thing. They shot the fewest three-pointers in the entire league all season long, did the Bulls, but they made the fourth highest percentage in the regular season. And now here you are in the playoffs just shooting it as abysmally as they did. They don't just need one, they need two. Yeah. They need two knockdown three-point shooters. You know, 3-and-D guys or the backup, ideally a backup point guard who can shoot it, but those are rare and hard to find. They have, as well, of course, as a big of consequence with some physicality. But I keep thinking bigger because they got a man, and they're not afraid, which is good. But if you want to get from good to great, you might have to shuffle some things. I wonder if Eversley will think back and talk about what happened in Toronto, you know, because he and DeMar there in Toronto, and DeMar there longer, obviously, but 5 years of getting to the playoffs and never once to the finals for DeMar DeRozan in Toronto. Mm. So there's an experiential conversation that they can have, that they can draw from. And they didn't get there, obviously, until they flipped DeMar for Kawhi Leonard and 1 year. So do the Bulls have to do that at some point? And not necessarily with DeMar, but just with whatever they have, flip and try to get that great player? Because that's usually how it ends up being done. It's a very difficult task.
Yeah, and you're hoping that the great player you already have and you just need to figure out how to get through to him in Patrick Williams. But as much as I enjoyed his aggression offensively last night, and I know I'm nitpicking because I asked for him to be an aggressive scorer yesterday, and I thought that in the first 10 minutes of the game he did that. The fact that he wasn't a factor on the boards, and I know that probably has to do with the fact of how the offense went last night. It was disappointing. And there's still these moments where you're like, come on, man. Like, just hit the gas on this thing and let's go.
Yeah, it's been a consistency game to game within the games. And it's funny, like, the whole thing with Patrick Williams is that he has conceded to other scorers, obviously, you know, with knowing that DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Vucevic are your heavies. So was he then conceding to Vucevic last night for the rebounds? Because Vucevic is always going to be the guy around the rim, and he's the guy that's going to get the automatic double-double. There is this way that he plays that you have to look at him and shake him and say, go all out, use everything you got, because we are going to allow you to do that, and you are the future, or one of the future pieces of this organization.
He's just such a young pup. He's just so raw in terms of everything, just, you know, maturity, growth, physical confidence, emotional confidence. I mean, he's like a lot of us were at that age. You know, you don't just jump forward in terms of development because you're put in a better situation right away. It doesn't happen just because you want it to. So I don't know what it's going to be for Patrick Williams, and I just hope it happens here. I hope they figure it out fast.
How about this? I saw this on NBC Sports Chicago. I don't remember who wrote it. Maybe Casey. The lineup of, at one point in time, of DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, Kobe White, Derek Jones Jr., and Troy Brown Jr. Oof. They wrote down the seldom seen lineup of ... those guys.
The lineup of death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Bulls version.
I want the juniors off this roster.
Yeah. They could dunk, or at least the Derek Jones of the juniors.
I've had quite enough of both,
man,
of those guys.
I think Derek's all right. Derek's okay to be towards the bottom of a roster. You know, he plays bigger than he is. He hustles.
No,
he tries.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, you're just down. Huh?
What about your guy, Javonte Green?
I like Javonte Green.
I always have a place in my heart for Javonte Green.
That doesn't mean on this roster, though, right? That means wherever.
I'm fine with Javonte Green being on this roster.
All right.
Yeah. I'd rather have Javonte Green than Derek Jones Jr.
Yes.
Yeah.
So whatever.
You're done with all juniors. How about Dale Earnhardt Jr.? You done with him? Top five juniors.
I really like Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Okay.
The original.
He's funny.
Junior.
He's a big hip hop head. He has a really good podcast. I mess with Dale Earnhardt Jr.
I didn't realize that.
The original junior, Ken Griffey Jr., right? In terms of bringing it
had
to...
Had posters of that guy.
How about maybe Douglas Fairbanks Jr., who won the first Oscar?
Okay.
I
mean, in sports. You know, everybody's a junior in the last 10 years or so. I think that started about 10 years ago where everybody started to link.
How about
the
Brody,
junior.
How did you miss Dinosaur Jr.?
Oh yes, nice. That one song. Yeah.
Lou Barlow and Jay Maskus. Let's go.
Dinosaur Jr.
How about King Richard II? Was he a junior?
No, he was the second.
Yeah. Two. No, that's a good call.
How about Carl Edwards Jr.? CJ Edwards.
CJ's fine.
Yeah. Or Carl's Jr.
Monster Burger.
Yes.
Talk about onion rings on your burger. The Monster Burger, like a pound of meat in between buns.
Maybe got the good breakfast, too, over there at Carl's Jr.
Do they really?
The Frisco? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like me some fast food breakfast. Go around, try it all.
I can put that on in the draft for next Tuesday, Speech.
Oh, yeah, fast food breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Oh, I like that. For your top five Tuesdays, go, baby, go.
What about Mark Leiter Jr. last night?
Decent last night?
Yeah, he was.
You made it through, kid. Yeah. We're going to take you out right now, and we're going to go right to our top reliever.
They bullpened a quality start
last night. They really did. I mean, their bullpen's really good. And I was thinking that this is perfect because they could do the same thing they did last year. Come trade deadline, they could sell all their bullpen pieces again.
Sure. Yes. They'll try to do that. And I think they'll try to sell Rafael Ortega, which is why he continues to be in the lineup and hitting leadoff and playing center field. But, you know, he had his moments last night. It's Seiya Suzuki. It's his world, man. And, like, have we reached the point already where we're taking him for granted? Dude leads the MLB in on-base percentage and OPS. He saw 36 pitches and 5 plate appearances last night.
That, he's so fun, Speed.
It's crazy. It's crazy how good he is, how mature he is. He's obviously the best player on the team, but he's like face of the franchise caliber as a ball player, and they believe as a person. It's part of why he's here with all that money and all that, and they paid the posting fee. Like they want him to, you know, to be the identity of this team, to be the personality of this team. You could do a hell of a lot worse of anybody in baseball. Watching that guy do anything. Hell, watching him run on the sacrifice fly for me and Hap. Just watching the man sprint. I'm like, yeah,
that's what
a ball player is supposed to look like.
There's the word right there.
Ball player.
Bleeping ball player.
In every sense, man. Watching him do absolutely every skill. It's very fun.
Lawrence, I heard you discussing Ian Happ earlier. I think it was today that you mentioned Ian Happ. And I hope that you are right, that we are seeing something real, because Ian Happ has always gone. I remember when he came up, I was there, and he started on fire. He looked like a guy that was never going to go down. We know that he's had these prolonged slumps, but he's been knocking the cover off the ball since essentially the second half of last year. Even his outs were loud last year, and it's been the same this year. And I don't know if I'm ready to say, okay, we're getting the full Ian Happ, because it is so early. This is one of those cases where the disclaimer is real, but his approach at the plate does look better to me than I've ever seen Ian Happ, except for maybe the first few weeks when none of the pitchers knew him.
He's already a 1.2 B war. Already. It's been 3 weeks of baseball.
It's
already
crazy.
A 1.2 B war.
And he's looking strong from both sides of the plate, has revamped the right-handed swing, and free agent at the end of next year. So I'm sure they'll be having some conversations, but I would be shocked if he doesn't push it all the way to free agency.
Well, one of the fun questions now is like which of the current Cubs will be part of, and I'm already sick of saying this, the next great Cubs team. And Jed Hoyer is the one that coined that phrase. Is Ian Happ, because he is one of their own, is he a guy that that management looks at and says, yeah, that he is part of the next Cubs great team? I'd put him in there. I guess probably Kyle Hendricks, unless you get some immaculate value for him in a trade piece eventually.
I think the idea is that Hendricks and Stroman and Suzuki,
of course,
that those three guys, and then we'll see what, you know, and then Madrigal and Horner, theoretically, but they're working with Nick Madrigal. They're trying to improve the quality of his contact. Not yet. I saw this morning. Would anybody like to guess how many barrels Nick Madrigal has this year? The contact rate remains very, very high. A barrel is when you hit it with the sweet spot. Go ahead.
Not many. That's my answer.
Fewer than that.
My guess is zero.
Zero barrels.
Oh, God. I was going to say six.
Not a single barrel yet for Nick Madrigal.
So there's no perfect exit velo plus launch angle for Nick Madrigal, but this is what I was trying to explain to Cubs fans, that this is who he is, and the Cubs have more time to develop, to wait on his development, than the White Sox did.
Yes, yes.
That the Cubs could look at it and say, okay, maybe at some point he is a doubles guy, like a guy that will hit doubles in the gap. I could see that. I could see that him maybe turning into that. But he's a guy that's going to hit you 300 and have an on-base percentage of 310.
Well, they are. They're trying to turn him into that doubles guy. They're trying to have him be a little more selective. The walk rate is up for Madrigal. He's taking more pitches than he has before. So, but they're doing that in hopes that he makes better contact, and that part hasn't really come yet. He's driving the ball into the ground with incredible fervor.
This is what he does. This is what he does.
Yeah, you've always been, even when he was with the White Sox, Lawrence, you've always been a little bit of skeptical of Nicky
Not
Two Strikes.
Fan.
Nicky
Not
Two Strikes.
A fan. Yeah. Just think, and it could have worked if he were farther along. Like, let's say it's Nick Madrigal in year 5 of his professional career. I think that he would have made for a really good piece to the White Sox lineup, depending on how you wanted to do it. Either you're one guy or you're nine guy with him. But as it stands right now, if you're out here looking to try and win a championship right now, there's not a place for him. And with the other limitations that his game has, we're talking about a one-tool player. A guy that has the hit tool, but not a lot else.
Yeah, if you're that size and that light hitting, you've got to be able to play defense. I mean, I think a lot of us just assumed when he was drafted, considering the stat, okay, this guy's got to be a great defensive player. He's got to be a great base runner, you know, contact guy. But you're right. That's a great way to put it. He is absolutely a one-tool hitter or a one-tool player at this point with room to grow, and I guess that's what all the Cubs have.
They're about to get some focus with the Bulls going away and then the NFL draft coming and going, but we're going to have fun today mixing just absolutely everything. A whole bunch of draft coverage today on The Score presented by AMCO Transmissions and Total Car Care. Call 1-800-GO-AMCO for the location nearest you. We'll talk to Marshall Miller for some draft stuff. It's Matt Miller's little brother at about 2:40 today.
Well, it is draft day.
It sure is.
There it is.
Cody Westerlund, your guy who you've got tomorrow. We want to ask him specifically about like salary cap stuff and paying Zach. And I need to wrap my head around what it means if they do and if they don't. So we'll talk to Cody at 3:40. Bronson Arroyo, the former big league pitcher and musician, will join us at 4 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, our Score Stories segment. Pat Manley. Been a long time since we have spoken to Pat Manley. We will check in with
Pat. Tossed him earlier this week. So
did I?
Yeah.
What did I say?
What was last week? You were talking about left you high and dry.
Yeah.
And
that's just the truth.
Yeah, well, I am not afraid to ask those questions, Lawrence, when he comes on. Like, why did you walk away from Matt Spiegel?
Yes.
What really happened
other
than your love for football?
What was so
distasteful? The music.
What was, what was so distasteful about working with Matt Spiegel that you had to run screaming far away?
Right.
Yeah. Well, we will find out. And as always, by the way, our 30th anniversary content is brought to you by our friends at EOC Audio. Lawrence, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
All right, boys. I'll see you.
Thank you.
Hi, Lawrence.
That is Lawrence Holmes. He's Mark Grody Sports on the Twitters. I am Matt Spiegel, 670 on the Twitters. But you can find us right here live and local on The Score. Tanny's Open kicks us off next on Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.